Welcome to the podcast. I'm here with Josh Leves, who's an entrepreneur, former journalist, and a leading global expert on issues facing modern fathers in the workplace. Josh spent 20 years reporting for NPR and CNN, where he developed unique expertise on nonpartisan fact-checking. He also created a role covering modern families and developed unprecedented expertise in assessing the realities of today's fathers. He then stepped into the global spotlight when he himself took legal action against Time Warner for unfair parental leave policies. With the publication of his book this past year, which is called All In, How Work First Culture Fails Dads, Families, and Businesses, and How We Can Fix It Together, Josh has become a leading voice for modern dads at work, shining a light on their often unknown struggles. So it's a real honor to have you here, Josh. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, it's my honor. Thanks for having me.
To start, I'd love to just have you share a bit about your background, which is quite fascinating. You started as a journalist, and you developed a sort of expertise in father's issues, which I'd love to hear a bit more about, and then your own personal historic battle with legal battle with Time Warner.
Sure, happy to. So I was a reporter for NPR at first, National Public Radio, and then for CNN. And at CNN, I was doing a lot of fact-checking. I was fact-checking presidents and presidential candidates and politicians. And so I learned the art of fact-checking, and I learned how most of the numbers that we hear in the news are not real. I learned how to tell real numbers from fake numbers. And at the same time, I became a dad. And I started doing some segments on air with other dads and covering fatherhood and modern parenthood in general. And I took that fact-checking lens and I turned it onto modern parenthood. And I started reporting on what's really going on with modern dads. And the responses that we got to those segments were huge because no one knew, because what dads go through has remained in the shadows. No one has talked about it publicly.
Right. So that was just a personal interest for you, and then this led to your own situation. Was that connected in any way, or just kind of was a coincidence?
Sort of, yeah, in that my knowledge empowered me. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So, my wife and I had our first child, and I started covering fatherhood, and we had our second child, and I was going through what so many dads go through. After my first kid, I really became obsessed with money for the first time in my life and needed to make sure I was making enough. And I was looking at that perspective. And then I also wanted to have tons and tons of time with my family because that's what modern dads do.
And what happened with Time Warner? What was the situation there?
Oh, right. So then comes the legal case. So what happened was my wife was pregnant with our third child, and we looked at what was going on in our family, and we realized that I would be needed at home to do some caregiving after the birth. And that is totally normal. Dads do this now. Unfortunately, our policies in general in the modern world have not kept up with reality. So the policy that I was under at CNN, which was part of Time Warner, made no sense at all. It worked out so that anyone could get 10 paid weeks to care for their new child, except typical biological father. And it made no sense. So I went to the company completely in secret and I said, hey, this has got to be an oversight. When you were adding all these groups of people who can get 10 paid weeks, there's no way you meant to exclude the possibility that a traditional dad might do caregiving. But they wouldn't give me an answer. And then months went by with no answer. And then my daughter was born prematurely in an emergency. And they still wouldn't give me an answer. And then 11 days later, I was home holding her, my 4-pound preemie, and caring for my sick wife and my two boys. And that's when work said no, that I could not get the 10 paid weeks. I could only get two. And so I took legal action. And that started the whole new revolution that I'm part of.
Yeah, it started a huge conversation publicly. Lots of people were interested in this.
Yeah, and that was really striking to me. Because after I announced that I was taking legal action, I expect there would be some interest, but there was, it felt like I had unleashed the floodgates of love. All these groups were weighing in with their support, women's groups and men's groups, mom blogs and dad blogs. It was tremendous. And so as a journalist, I became fascinated. Why do so many people care about my legal case? And that's when I came to understand that we are all in this together, that this is the part of the battle for gender equality that no one has talked about. We cannot make sure that more women work their way up the ranks in the workplace unless we're also making sure that dads have an equal opportunity to be caregivers. And this is the problem. We have these Mad Men era structures that are still ruling the workplace.
And just as a timeline, when was this that you came out with this and you got all the support flooding in? Was this just a couple of years ago or...?
Yeah, that was in October 2013.
Okay, and then you wrote your book last year, right? Or it was published last year.
The book was actually published. It came out in 2015. So now that
Okay.
we're in 2015, it's technically more than a year. But
Right.
yeah, it came out in 2015.
And you said in your last comment that the policies haven't caught up with the realities. And this is really interesting because I think it ties in with this larger conversation about how work-life balance is kind of seen as a women's issue. We framed it that way a lot in the public conversation. And I'm curious, I'm seeing this huge response you got. Why is it that we need to include men in this conversation about work-life balance? What are the reasons we haven't seen this, and what's been maybe distorted in certain ways that we just, we haven't seen that men are part of this conversation?
Sure. Well, the reason that we have to is that it's about equality. I mean, all of these things, in order to make sure we all have equal opportunities at work and at home, we have to fix this part. I grew up believing in gender equality, how boys and girls can all work and have professions, and we can all clean the floor, and we can all change the diapers. And then, here I am, 20 years out of college, and we have made so little progress. And so this is the secret part that no one ever talks about. Why haven't we heard about it? Because stereotypes rule the day. That's why so many people responded when I started reporting on fatherhood on TV, in which I spoke with dads about normal things that we talk about in our real lives, like how we feel, and are we jealous of the partner who has more time with the baby, or are we the stay-at-home dad who is jealous of the working parent, and what are our stresses? All these things, no one had ever seen them because media had popularized these stereotypes, and because a lot of guys have been afraid to talk about it. So what we have to do is get past all of the stigmas that make it so hard to fix this.
Well, one of the I thought there's some interesting studies that as a journalist and fact checker, you went in and were interested in looking at behind some of the studies. Like, for example, we often hear this fact that, men and women who both work full time, that women still do much more housework at home. So women are doing this kind of double shift. And you kind of looked into those statistics and found some interesting facts about that. Did you want to share that?
Totally. Yeah. So, there's this image of the lazy dad, and
Right.
it's false. So the fact is that there's a thing called the time use survey. It looks at what people do. Fathers and mothers are putting in equal hours on behalf of our families when you combine paid work and unpaid work and childcare. There's even numbers of hours. So there's no block of time statistically in which men are sitting on a sofa watching a game and women are running around scrubbing the floors, caring for the kids while the dads ignore their kids. It's just factually, statistically, that's not what happens. Yes, women who work full time end up doing more at home, and that's because full time means at least 30 hours in the office. So there's a lot of women who are doing 30, 35 hours in the office, a lot of men who are doing 55, 60 hours in the office. And so, of course, women end up doing more at home. And all the same things that are holding back women in the workplace are also making it harder for men to have the chance to be caregivers at home. And so my book is filled with stories of men who tried to take paternity leave, tried to get a flexible schedule, and were fired for it because their bosses believed in old-fashioned machismo.
Well, this is really interesting because I did do some research on this myself. I was interested in like looking behind the wage gap and just the different factors involved. And one of the interesting things was that these studies that had been done on levels of even harassment in the workplace, that men experienced greater harassment when they took time off work to care for their children, both by coworkers and by bosses, and women and men, right?
Oh yes. Yeah, went by women too. It's incredible. This whole idea that, oh, you were sitting at home doing nothing, kicking up your feet. This is why these stereotypes matter so much, because bosses truly believe that if you give a man paternity leave, he will sit around and watch sports and wait for his wife to come home and do everything anyway. So they don't want to give men paternity leave. They think they should stay at work. And they think that men who took the time off are being lazy, and they look down on them and don't want them anymore. So yeah, my book is filled with the stories of really hardworking, fantastic, successful men who took that time off and then lost their jobs.
Do you want to talk a little bit about sort of the state of paternity leave? I know you're in the US, I'm in Canada here. There's some differences in our policies, but also some crossover in the problems that men face in taking paternity leave, even if they're offered a little bit more here. Do you want to talk a little bit about what the state of it is like there? And
Sure. Yeah, I can talk to you about both. I mean, I also, talk to Canadian media a lot. Look, what Canada is facing is the same thing that almost the entire world faces. When there are blocks of time available to families, and it's your choice, does the mom take it or does the dad take it? The overwhelming majority goes to the mom. The dads don't take it. And that is because of stigmas. You know, what's been proven is that men want more time at home all over the world. They want to have this time at home. But if they take the time off, then they are not going to be able to keep advancing their careers because they're looked down on for it. Yeah. In fact, there was a specific study out of Toronto that found that. So that's a big problem in Canada. In the United States, with no paid maternity leave at all, and that's bad for everyone. So, you know, the only nations in the world that don't have paid maternity leave programs are the United States and Papua New Guinea and Suriname. What it means is that, you know, it's all about Mad Men. This basic idea, she's a woman, who needs her money? The man should work and make the money. And who needs a public program? Because the man should go to work and make the money. Right. So instead, families are left without any choices at all, but for the man to keep working. And then women are unable to continue their careers in many cases. And this is why we have so few women leaders.
Now, do you think that, I know in your book you talk about some potential solutions. I'd love to go into that a little bit. And I know there's been different things experimented with in the Scandinavian countries. The idea that maybe even you sort of force both mothers and fathers to take some of the leave, so that way there's no stigma associated to either gender. What do you think of those kind of things? Or what's your idea of where we would go from here?
Right. No, it's interesting. You're right. Because Finland, Iceland, Norway, they have these things called daddy quotas. It's not that they're forced. It's that there, instead of making the time available to moms or dads, they have a big block of time that's available for only dads.
Right.
And what that did was it reversed the stigma.
Right.
And so because there, you look like an idiot if you don't take it. Who's going to turn down 3 paid months of leave to care for their kid? So it turned the number of dads who take it from like the single digit percentages up into the 90s. So, but that idea would not fly in most places. You know, in the United States, where there's a very different relationship to the whole concept of taxation, for example. But what that proves is that when you get past the stigmas,
right,
you'll find that men actually want to take more time and women want to get back in the workforce, and it's also better for businesses. So the big lesson is that we have to eradicate the stigmas, and there are ways to do that. You know, I say think of the stigmas as a bully, and let's stand up to the stigmas and fix them. And there are paid family leave programs that several U.S. states now have, and those help a lot. They act as insurance programs in which workers put in a very tiny amount of money into this big fund. And when they need paid family leave to care for anyone, not just a child, but an elderly parent or a sick spouse or themselves after an illness, they can get some pay out of that fund. And so businesses aren't paying them. They don't have to get their salaries while they're off, but there's money for them to have time off. And it's working, it's successful, and it's helping combat these stigmas as well.
Do you think the change is sort of inevitable? Is that your feeling at this point?
No, that's why we need to be so active about it. You know, no, unfortunately, if we just like wait for the change to happen, then it could take a century before we get anywhere near where we need to be. We need to be really active about this to get past these stigmas and to get to the place in which men and women are all treated equally at work, including after they take time off to care for a child.
You also spend a good portion of your book, which I think is really important, in talking about the change of attitude. Some of the things you talk about is the damaging ways fathers are portrayed in the media, the sort of social fear we still have around men being with children. Do you want to talk about any of those, or just some of the things you're really focused on?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, one way that we all hold each other back is through holding onto these stigmas ourselves. So we all need to look in the mirror, first of all. I write about male privilege and female gatekeeping. You know, there can be moments in which some men will say, you know, you change the diaper, honey. That's more your thing. Because of the way that we're raised, it might occur to us. And there are just as many women who do what's called female gatekeeping, in which they say, no, 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 that's not how you change the baby. You're going to drop the baby. Give me the baby. I got this.
Right.
So we have to get past that. And then, you know, it also applies, as you're saying, we have to get rid of the media stereotypes that dads don't do anything, the lazy buffoon dads. And we have to get past the fear of men. This whole idea, you know, a lot of men, basically all of the guys I know, including me, have had this experience at some point that you take your kids to a playground and they're mostly moms there and they look at you funny and they're wary of you. You know, what is a man doing here? And I'm doing the same thing that they're doing, letting my kids play on the playground. But, you know, they close off their circles. And all the stay-at-home dads I've talked to and interviewed for the book, they all have the experience of trying to join at-home mom groups just to have companionship. And they were told they couldn't.
Yeah.
So little by little, at-home dads are finding each other now, and they're creating their own groups.
And it's interesting too, you know, the commercial that I don't know if you were a part of trying to get this commercial change. Was it the Huggies diapers one?
Oh, big time. Big
Yeah,
time.
because the way they portrayed fathers, maybe you could share a little bit about that. But I was thinking of the reverse if we saw women portrayed in the workplace like that, how the outcry that would happen, you know?
No, you're exactly right. And this is really an important issue. In fact, Anne Marie Slaughter, she and I have talked about this, and she says the same thing. She says, women talking about men at home the way that stereotypical men have talking about women in the workplace, we would never accept it.
Absolutely.
So the ad that you're referring to, I actually start a lot of my talks by showing a segment I did about this on the air at CNN. It was an ad that said Huggies wanted to put their diapers to the toughest test imaginable, dads at home with their kids alone for several days, as though dads cannot handle diapers and it's just beyond us. Really offensive, really sexist. And a lot of men spoke up, and women. And Huggies revolutionized it. They totally changed their campaign. They made new ones. They pulled those ads. And the new ones are really positive, saying, we asked dads to try out these great new diapers. And so, now Huggies is adored by a lot of these groups. And Huggies came to something called the Dad 2.0 Summit that I've spoken at. It's this great group where these dad bloggers get together every year. It's huge, thousands of people. And so companies are starting to catch on. And this is an issue for everyone. There's a study in England that showed when women were asked what bothers them most about advertising, one of the top things they said were negative portrayals of dads. So women
Interesting.
are starting to understand how offensive that is.
Very interesting. And maybe to sort of tie this all together, some of the discussion you have in your book about fathers, I really appreciated. And just some of the benefits that fathers bring when they're involved in their kids' lives and some of the crisis around fatherlessness. Did you want to just touch on that a little bit? And
Sure, you mean the community aspect of it?
also the benefits to the child as they're growing, you know, having a father involved, and also the fatherlessness sort of crisis that's going on.
So it starts at birth, which is why I think talking about paternity leave is so important. It's shown that if when a child is born, you have father with an equal opportunity to be caregiver, which let me establish, this is different from physical recovery time. Moms need physical recovery time, absolutely. And there's US federal guidance that says they have to clearly distinguish caregiving time, and caregiving time has to be gender neutral. So if you do that, then you see a better balance of responsibilities in the home throughout the kid's entire childhood. And the more time a child has with its father, the better their markers are in all the major categories. They do better academically and socially, and they're less likely to turn to drugs and alcohol when they grow up, and they're less likely to have high levels of anxiety and stress. All of the markers that you look for, psychological well-being, physical well-being. The more time a kid gets with his father, the better he or she does, which, makes sense because kids need both their parents. It's a lot of pressure for one parent, often the mom, to have to do so much at home, and a lot of pressure for the man most of the time to have to deal with all the finances himself. And this isn't what couples want anymore. And when we loosen our restrictions so that families have choices, everyone benefits. Businesses, the economy, everyone.
I think one of the interesting things too that we're going to see, some of the research I did with around millennials is that it seems that the trends are already moving in that direction where more and more millennial men want to be involved in their kids' lives and they want this work-life balance that used to be seen as a women's issue. So hopefully that will start to, as millennials become the biggest workforce, you know, that will start to shift some of these conversations.
Oh, absolutely. They grew up with a different concept of work. Their ideas of what work is are not 9 to 5. Their ideas are Mark Zuckerberg. You do your work and you have your life and you're kind of wherever, whenever, but you get your work done. And this is one reason that some people mistakenly think that millennials aren't ready to work hard. A lot of them actually are ready to work hard. Working doesn't look the same to them as does to you. It doesn't mean sitting at your desk continuously. It means getting your work done wherever you are. And millennials expect work-life integration. The problem is that they'll run into the same things that I did. I thought gender equality would be real, and my whole generation did. A lot of us did. And then we got to the workplace and we found that it never grew up. So it's really up to us right now to fix this so that future generations don't get stuck in this quagmire.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate the work you're doing, and I'm glad your voice is out there.
Well, look, I was so happy to hear from you. I'm always happy to talk about All In. People can get more information at my website at
Yeah.
joshlebs.com. And I would love to, hopefully next time or when I do make it up there and do some events up there,
Yeah, come
I'll
say
see.
hi. That'd be great. And I
That'd be
just
great.
recommend people checking out your book. It's full of a lot of great facts about some of the, like we talked about, the leisure gap and the work gap. And I think you take down a lot of some of these myths about fathers, I think is really important. So I recommend people check that out.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you very much.